Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hardworking and dependable. Test drive a Silverado at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
James Burrows has directed over 1,000 episodes of television. His directorial work includes Cheers, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Rhoda, Frasier, Friends, 2 and a Half Men, The Big Bang Theory, Mike and Molly, Taxi, Will and Grace, Caroline in the City, and that's just to name a few. The legendary sitcom director has spent, it's a long list, 5 decades making America laugh, and his new memoir is directed by James Burrows. All this from a man who helped launch the careers of Ted Danson, Kelsey Grammer, Woody Harrelson, Jennifer Aniston, Deborah Messing, and Melissa McCarthy. He is a television icon. He's James Burrows. Jim, welcome in.
Thank you so much.
It's a lot to read, but man, this is your career. It's 5 decades of amazing television.
I know. It went by in a flash, but I had fun. That's all that counts.
That's all that counts. Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, you know, the great book. I mean, this is a flash down memory lane, and I know, you know, there was a 2016 NBC special where there was a tribute to you and all the shows. And there is just so much more in-depth stories. It was like a reunion to watch that. But the stories in this book are just wonderful. And, you know, you started off, your father was Abe Burrows, a celebrated comedy writer for radio and Broadway. And you wrote in the book that you never really wanted to be in show business. But then you attended New York's High School of Music and Art, the Yale School of Drama. What changed your mind?
I had nothing else to do.
Okay.
There was no way I was going to be in the business because my dad was a legend in New York. And, you know, I didn't want to go into that business. I didn't do any theater in college or high school or anything like that. And then when I got out of college, I wanted a deferment not to go to the Vietnam War. So I went to the Yale School of Drama, and then it kind of, my eyes opened up a bit, and I said, oh, I see what's going on here. And then my father taught me when I didn't know what I was learning.
Mm.
So, you know, I that kind of opened my eyes. And then, you know, I got odd jobs in the theater and stuff like that. And then I got into television. I was lucky.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, directing, like, you know, when you were going to school and just starting to dip your toe into this business and Broadway and everything, was directing at the top of your mind?
No. I just needed a job. I just
it's great.
I was, you know, one of my first jobs out of the graduate school was I was assistant to the assistant stage manager on ill-fated musical my dad wrote called Breakfast at Tiffany's. So that was really my first exposure. After that, I stage managed a little bit, but as a stage manager, you get to direct the understudies. So I was directing there, and then I did regional theater and dinner theater and stuff like that until I landed an opportunity in California.
As I say, you first met Mary Tyler Moore in 66 in this Broadway production. And, you know, she was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, so that's how she was best known, of course, one of the most legendary shows of all time. But years later, you wrote a letter to Mary because you met her, you knew her, and her husband, Grant Tinker, and you asked to work for MTM, her production company.
Right. But I don't recommend that to the average person. It doesn't work unless we had a connection, because the musical that I worked on, the ill-fated musical, was Breakfast at Tiffany's, which was an abysmal failure. And, you know, it only played 4 previews on Broadway, and she would come off stage crying, and she would wrap her arms around me because I was in charge of her and Dick Chamberlain. And so we had this bond, so that empowered me to write the letter.
Very cool. Well, we are talking to legendary TV producer James Burrows. Jim, what shows did you grow up with that you take a look back now and saw them during your career as an inspiration?
For me, the Phil Silver Show, You'll Never Get Rich, mm-hmm. Car 54, the Dick Van Dyke Show, I Love Lucy, those shows. I mean, I enjoyed them, but they were no inspiration to me, because when I watched them, I wasn't headed for the theater.
Right. Dick Van Dyke Show, as you mentioned. I mean, still today, you know, there's some shows that you know will last the test of time. And so many of the shows that you did, I mean, you can watch an episode of Cheers today and it's still funny. I mean, you're not talking about politics and things going on of the day. It's just great stories and great It's a great sense of humor. But right out of the box, you were directing The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Bob Newhart and Phyllis and Rhoda. These were the top shows, like the quality shows when CBS remade itself in the early 70s and did that rural purge of all the shows that aired before it. You know, these were not only top-rated comedies, but quality programming as well.
They were. It was the beginning of the golden age, probably the second golden age of television. You know, because you had All in the Family and the Jeffersons and all of Norman's shows, which were at the forefront back then.
By the way, you got another 20 years to go to reach Norman's. He's going to be 100 this summer. Is that crazy?
Yeah, July 27th, he's going to be 100 years old. Yeah. And I just saw him last week.
Still working.
And he's as sharp as a tack.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. There's great stories in the book on all the shows. And, you know, if you're a fan of any of these, and you're going to find some wonderful, wonderful behind-the-scene moments. But Mary Tyler Moore, you mentioned, was vocal about the scripts, the quality of the scripts on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And, you know, there were some challenges, you know, and you made those challenges work. It was a rough episode. And Mary let you know that she was glad she made that investment in you because, you know, the outcome was at the end of the day, it was where it needed to be.
Yeah, I never cried so much in my life when I heard those words before the show.
That's awesome.
Really. I wasn't expecting. I never thought that, you know, I would do the show and that would catapult me into where it did, but I was so happy when she said it. I did that first show not even caring about if I got another show. I was just doing it to try to make the show better and funnier.
Someone you admired, which was a part of the show, was Jay Sandrich. You know, he was the ultimate, you know, television director, producer. He was the guy.
Yeah, when I used to watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I would always see his name.
Yeah.
And he became my mentor. And he was a dear friend. He unfortunately passed away this year.
Yeah.
And but he did 75% of the Mary Tyler Moore shows, and you can tell how well they would direct.
It's funny you say that because, you know, probably, you know, I was born in 67, so me remembering Taxi and seeing James Burrows, and then seeing Cheers and James Burrows and Friends and James Burrows. And I'm being honest with you. I just knew I was going to see a quality show because you were behind it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I wish it was my sole responsibility, but it wasn't. The writing was always exquisite. Yeah. I always had the best write.
Yeah. Which is critically important. But then, you know, you're doing Taxi, you know, with Glenn and Les Charles. How did Cheers come about? Because that is the show that you not only directed, but, I mean, you created the show. That's got to be the gem for you.
I was the director of Taxi, and they were the producers of Taxi. Mm-hmm. Under Jim Brooks, Ed Weinberger, Stan Daniels, and Dave Davis. And so we both had difficult times because the writing was, you know, it was tough writing, and then the cast was interplanetary. So I had a tough time molding them into a homogeneous group, which is what I tried to do. But we, in like the second year, we both had the same agent, and he came to us and he said, "You guys ought to do your own show." So he made a deal, and out of that came Cheers.
It's amazing. Why Boston? What? And I know the answer to this story, but tell folks why you picked Boston as the location for the show.
Well, we started out wanting to do Fawlty Towers because we loved that show. Mm-hmm. And then we said most of the show will take place in the bar, and maybe we should do a show about a bar. And then we were all rabid sports fans, so we said we have to do a bar in a rabid sports town, and it happened to be either Philly or Boston, and we chose Boston.
That's great, because, I mean, it is so surrounded about that and the character of Sam. I was going to say, casting for Cheers, you knew about Ted Danson from previous work. Shelley Long was Chicago, Second City right here. But you narrowed things down to three pairs of actors and actresses and put them on stage to really understand the chemistry and who would be the best for the part.
Yeah, we had an audition on, like in February of 82. We put three couples out there, and far and away the best were Ted and Shelley. They were They had the best chemistry, although the other two couples had things going for them. The first couple was Fred Dreyer and Julia Duffy.
Right.
And Sam Malone was originally a wide receiver for the Patriots. And Freddie was a former football player for the Rams,
right,
defensive end. So he had that quality, but he just didn't have the funny yet. And then Billy Devane was an older Sam Malone, but really, really good and really, really, really funny. There was a history to him, an age quality, which made it interesting. But from our perspective, the most upside was Ted and Shelley.
When Ted got the part, and he always looked so natural behind the bar from the very beginning, you sent him to a bartending school, didn't you?
Yeah, he and Nikki went to bartending school.
That's great.
And then, you know, Teddy was not a really athletic or anything like that.
No, wasn't a sports guy, right? He was, yeah.
No, I think I took him to his first baseball game and everything like that. So we worked on some of the characteristics of Sam. And one of the things I did was we hired Fred Dreyer to be on four shows, I think, the first and second year.
I remember that, yeah.
And I said when Fred walked on that stage in rehearsal, I said to Teddy, watch him. Watch him. That's the strut you need. That's the peacock.
Right.
That Sam Malone is.
Yeah.
You know, watch him. Watch him how he moves. Watch him. Watch his eyes as he looks at pretty girls. Watch as he grabs his crotch. You know, all these things that, you know, so Teddy watched him, the girls, had all the looks down, and then went over and grabbed Fred's crotch.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, at least Ted was taking accurate direction from you. You know, TV show themes are such a thing of the past now. And way back when, it told the story of the show. It set the tone. And the theme to Cheers is one of the most iconic of all time.
That's because we did 25 minutes of content back then, and now they'd only do 20 and a half minutes.
Right.
So it's all, you know, it's all about commercials now. There were never as many commercials. So when we told a story on Cheers, you could have time for a 30-minute theme song, and you could go a couple of pages without a laugh. But now, you know, now you can't do that. And that song was perfect for that show.
Song was perfect. The ensemble was perfect. I mean, you know, sometimes there's some shining stars, as you know, on a show, but this entire cast, the ensemble, made this show work. And it was a big ensemble.
Oh, yeah. And when we lost one of the ensemble, unfortunately, we lost Nikki.
Nick, right.
He passed away, and we lost Shelley. When that happened, we were lucky enough to find somebody to replace them that was not the same as them, different, and yet as important to the show.
I was going to say, that's the brilliance of your casting and how you do things is you don't want to replace the same character. You do want to create something new, and you've done it every single time. You mentioned Shelley Long leaving. You know, I love this story that you went back really to the script when you rebooted with Kirstie Alley of Ted Danson's character, having him work for a woman, and that was the original premise in the early days of the show.
When we had discussed the show and the characters and the boys went off to write it, it was a show about Sam working for a woman. When I returned 2 weeks later from a vacation, there was a script on my doorstep, and the part of Diane Chambers had been created by Glenn and Les out of whole cloth. They created this character that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's a tribute to them because that character had never appeared on television before. And the actress who played her was phenomenal. Without Shelley Long, there's no year two of Cheers.
Well, here's the thing, too. You have a spinoff. You got Frasier. And, you know, one of the longest-running characters, TV characters of all time. But it kind of extended that story. We got to see some of the characters from Cheers appear now and then, but your legendary shows that you created just continued decade after decade.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, there's something about, you know, what I try to do is I treat everybody with kindness. I say to the cast, we're all in this lifeboat together. Everybody has an oar. No oar is bigger than the other person's oar. We're all rowing. It's a rough sea out there, but we row together. and we learn to like one another, dare I say, love one another. And if you do that, that's going to come across the screen. And as long as the writing keeps up, and I have these extraordinary actors, it's easy.
So one of your biggest hits, if not the biggest, is Friends. And there have been generations of the show that have embraced it year after year, these characters and this cast. You know, my own teenage daughter has discovered the show over the last year, and it truly stands up almost 30 years after the show's premiere.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It appeals to, you know, when they get in their teens, all of a sudden they're interested in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Six, you know, people that kind of the teenagers might aspire to, but they capture you. They're good looking. And but the great thing about that is if you're good looking and you're also funny,
yeah,
it's so surprising.
Yeah. The ones that you don't expect to be funny are probably the most rewarding to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
A surprise.
Yeah.
You don't expect it.
Yeah.
You know, all the three guys on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed, Gavin, and Ted, were all heavies in The Untouchables and all those drama shows.
Right, right, right.
And all of a sudden, they cast them in these comedy roles. You know, remember Ed's surly look?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, yeah. He was always grumpy.
Yeah.
But he was funny.
Yes, he was. He was. He absolutely was. You directed every episode of Will and Grace. You didn't do that for every show. You did every single show here.
At the, you know, Will and Grace came along in 98. And, you know, I was kind of, my career was, I was just taking it easy. And then the show came along and it made me laugh so hard that I said to my wife, I have to continue on this show. It's adding years to my life. You remember Norman Cousins?
Yeah.
That book he wrote about laughter is the best medicine.
Yep, absolutely.
And how it helped him overcome a disease,
mm-hmm,
by watching Marx Brothers tapes and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's what I felt like with this show. It really made me laugh.
And you must see the impact of Will and Grace on television today, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Not politically relevant as it was before. But it sure had a powerful impact in the early 2000s.
No question. You know, and over the years, you know, you say you've become, you know, over time, both an actor's director and a writer's director. Talk a little bit about that.
In the sitcom business, it's a writer-driven business. So they write, you perform. I direct. The actors perform. So there's a wall. We wrote this, you do it. There's a wall that I break down.
Yep.
Because I say to the actors, okay, we got to do what the writers wrote because they worked hard on it. However, you got any ideas for other stuff? You got a funny business, you got a funny position, you can say this line in. So when the writer comes down to see his piece, we show it to him as written, and then we say, wait, we got something here. Are you interested in this? Sometimes they'll say no. Sometimes they'll say yes. But it's all about making the show better. The writers don't feel threatened at all. You know, they expect, especially on a long-running show,
mm-hmm,
they expect the actors to help them out a lot. And, you know, I break down those walls.
Yeah, I mean, this book is great for any aspiring director, producer, and television as well. And back in 2016, I mentioned this earlier, when NBC aired that all-star tribute to James Burrows, I couldn't wait to see it because I knew this was like a This Is Your Life moment, a reunion of people in every show you created. That must have been overwhelming to see all these people in one room to celebrate your work.
I was so moved and so grateful to Sean for putting it together. To see all those people in the same room, and then to see the cast, like from Big Bang,
yeah,
go over to the Cheers cast.
Yeah.
You know, because they were raised on Cheers.
Yeah.
And then to see the Friends kids go over to Taxi people.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing to me.
I hope there was a big group picture that you have hanging somewhere.
Oh, I don't know if there is.
Oh, really?
No. There's a picture in the book of me with the Friends kids.
Saw that, yeah.
But
yeah. Well, I will tell you, such a great book, directed by James Burroughs. 5 decades of stories from the legendary director of Taxi, Cheers, Frasier, Friends, Will and Grace, and more. Pick up this book, folks. It is phenomenal. And you think about this, and this is just some of the highlights. 4 episodes of The Mary Tyler Moore Show, 11 episodes of The Bob Newhart Show, 8 of Laverne and Shirley, 19 of Phyllis, 75 of Taxi, 243 of Cheers, 32 of Frasier, Friends, Mike and Molly, all 246 episodes of Will and Grace, 10 Emmy Awards, 4 Directors Guild of America Awards, and celebrated by the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. You are a true legend, Jim, and I'm so glad you shared your story in this book and spent some time with us.
Well, I appreciate it a lot, and I hope to meet Jim Burroughs someday because I want to throw those accolades in his face.
I like it. Thank you again for your time, Jim. Appreciate it.